Thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
Welcome to another episode of the Three Beards Soccer Podcast. I am Tom Miller with Ken Lee and Tyler Offeld. How are we doing, Ken?
Great.
Tyler, you are remote again from Ocean City. How's the weather? It's pretty nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. I got an ocean view right now, looking out at the crashing waves in the dark.
Oh my god.
Where are you at? You're in Rehoboth, right?
Ocean City, Maryland.
But you're north of it, right? Aren't you
thick.
In the thick, nice. Off-season Ocean City, yeah. Place very, very close to my heart, off-season Ocean City. I went in January 1 year. It was a ghost town. It was really depressing. Anyway, I'm glad you're enjoying the semi-decent weather down there, Tyler, but I expect the usual top-notch producing that we've come to expect over the last few episodes especially. You've really been on your game, so I expect the same.
Have no fear.
Yeah. In that vein, we will start with Chelsea 4, Watford 2. So, Ken, this game started out with a banger from Pedro. Tyler sent us like 12 text messages in a row asking how come we're not giving all this credit and not going berserk. Well, part of it is, Tyler, because we don't care about your team. And the other part of it is we don't care about Pedro. But no, it was an absolute bomb from Pedro. Not the first one he's hit. So a beautiful goal from Pedro, but then Ken, there was a little bit of a scare.
Well, it wasn't a scare for me.
No,
it was the highlight of my Saturday morning. Until Chelsea does Chelsea things and Conte doing Conte things, they figure out how to win. And it was a home game, so you had to assume that it was always going to end Chelsea the winners. But Watford gave us a pretty good watch for 50, 60 minutes. It's pretty exciting. And then we just had to watch the goal show from Chelsea, which was annoying. And we had to watch somehow Bats puts in two goals. So, hey, but someone's got to show up when Morata again can't show up against a club in England that is, near the top of the table. And whether it's Watford or not, they're in the top four. Well, they were before they lost. I don't know if they still are. We got to look at the points. But he doesn't show up against clubs that, they need him to show up against. And at £70 million, you're expected to show up every week. So,
yeah.
Chelsea fans should be thanking Bats.
Bats with the rescue mission on this one. And Chelsea actually went into the midweek with a tough game against Roma. Tyler was pretty excited about it going in. Ended up being really good from a neutral perspective. Some really nice goals. I don't know if you saw Dzeko's volley, Ken, in the Champions League Roma-Chelsea game.
Not only watch the highlights, and I only watch the highlights because, again, that is a trophy that has lost all prestige.
That's right, I forgot about
Tyler told us last week that it was going to be a goal show, but in Chelsea's favor because they had Romo's missing five players, and the God-saving walking with us as mere mortals Morata was going to be playing again. And again, 3-3. Chelsea, 4-2 against Watford. Good game in the week. This was also a stellar performance, and this is why they challenge for titles. And I don't like to say it, but that's just what it is. 4-2 win at home against a tricky Watford.
Yeah, a tricky Watford. I think that was going in fourth or fifth place.
They were in fourth.
Yeah, Watford scored at that stroke of halftime with about the last kick, which change the game immensely, making it 1-1. And then came out and scored again right after halftime, and it looked like Watford had a chance at Stamford Bridge, but Morata comes off, and Batshuayi, the savior, scores in the 71st. Azpilicueta scores in the 87th, and then Batshuayi puts it away in the 95th. But overall, the stats say that Watford was in it the whole time, so good on Watford. Yeah, good on Watford, though.
Yeah.
It's respectable. So Chelsea gets the 3 points, and Tyler feels a little better about himself. Good for you, Tyler.
I should be feeling a lot better about himself. I mean, Watford's taking points away from a lot of big clubs, though. Chelsea coming in and getting all three is good. Good on them.
It's like Watford has taken the place of West Ham and Everton, basically. You know what I mean? yeah. like being a tough team. We'll go to that game next. West Ham playing.
Wait one second. Don't even think you can get through without
you won
me.
The game.
I won the game, but I have to address the shade that is being thrown at Morata here. He's been rushed back on an injury that you guys have both said should take 4 to 5 weeks to recover from. He's rushed back because Conte hates bats and doesn't want to play him, even though he should be given
more
time.
It's not that he doesn't want to play him, Tyler. He can't play him because he's terrible. He's even worse than Morata. But
the two goals that he scored today against the team that your team couldn't beat and could only score one goal collectively against a few weeks ago says differently about what bats can do on the field. And they rush Morata back. He's still injured. He's clearly not in his top form. I'm saying another week or two, he's going to be back to putting away hat tricks like he was before he got injured. And we're going to, you know, it's going to shut up this conversation once and for all about whether Morata's a top flight number nine.
The shade is not necessarily throwing towards Morata. It's actually to the fact that what you're saying, a team like Chelsea should not have to rush back Morata. They should have the depth in the position needed, and they should be able to rely on the players that are the depth for Morata, not needing to rush back a 4 to 6 week injury in 2 to 3 weeks. So blame Conte for that. He's the one that couldn't sign a player.
Blame Tottenham, because Tottenham stole Llorente on deadline day, and that's exactly what they need.
Or blame United for stealing Lukaku. I mean, they already have Lukaku's number on the back of a blue jersey, so don't come yelling at us because you only got one striker that's worth anything. Not really yet to prove that he's worth anything. So
well, it doesn't matter because Hazard is starting to light up too, so they could score some goals with him.
He looked great in the Roma game. He looked alive in this game. It's...
Well, yeah, that's going to be a nice thing for Chelsea. They don't necessarily even need Morata.
Yeah, that's a mark of a good team.
Yeah, so good for them.
Yeah, so they get the 3 points.
Thank you.
They're in fourth. Thanks, Tyler, for jumping in there. to Tyler's other team, West Ham United versus Brighton. This game was played at the London Stadium. West Ham was home. They had to be expecting a result against Brighton, but 3-0, Ken, to Brighton's favor.
Yeah, and I would imagine that Bilic might be on borrowed time, and I've been saying that for a couple weeks, but a big loss like that to Brighton, 3-0, there's no way, and it was at home, there's no way that you're going to be able to survive many more days, much less weeks, on results like that, especially with the players you brought in. So sad to say, but I think we might be looking at a West Ham managed by a new manager pretty soon. Pretty soon.
Yeah, we've beaten that in the ground over the last like 2 or 3 weeks. We are officially, well, as close as can be, a quarter of the way through the season. We can consider it that, right, Ken? 9 games in?
Yeah, it's a quarter.
38-game season. Well, a quarter of the way through the season, and we're starting to get our first narratives that I would actually commit to. I know Crystal Palace was in an emergent situation, so they fired their manager. I still thought it was too early, but they had to do it. In this case, West Ham has had 9 games, and they actually, they had Bilic all last season, and he was fighting relegation for most of the season. And right now, West Ham is not looking much better. They're in 16th place with 8 points. They are only out of relegation, the drop zone, by a 2-goal differential. So, I mean, they're just not looking good. And I can't imagine.
The goal differential is -9, by the way. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
Really to write home about a goal differential keeping you out of the relegation zone.
Yeah, and I think Chicharito is a luxury player for a good team. He doesn't help your build-up, but if you have guys that are putting balls in the box, he'll score them from 6 feet away. Problem is, he doesn't help you if you don't have a lot of the ball or you don't have a lot of opportunities. He needs opportunities. Otherwise, he's almost like negative impact. So maybe that was a tough
sign. They didn't have a lot of the ball this time. They have nobody to feed him. They had the ball for like 65% of the game. But the issue is they have no one that is quality enough to even break down a Brighton to just simply pass the ball into Chicharito in the box so he can put it away.
Yeah.
It's bad to lose 3-0 at home to Brighton.
Could not have helped. The next game of a manager that is under intense scrutiny, close to Ken's heart here, Everton at home against Arsenal gets absolutely smoked. Despite an early Wayne Rooney throwback goal.
Grandpa Rooney coming through just to give an old Arsenal fan a little bit of worry this morning.
Yep.
But, you know, we persevered. And like the team that Everton is, I knew that Arsenal would have no choice and Everton would not be able to withstand the play. I don't know if you guys watched the game, but the way we were playing, even the goal was as by definition against the run of play as it can get.
Yeah.
It wasn't anyone's fault. I mean, Xhaka did lose the ball. Was there a foul? Wenger seemed to think there was. He almost took his entire suit off yelling at the third referee about how there was a foul. But who cares? It wasn't called. He turned around and he ripped it. Pretty much a mirror image of the first goal he scored against Arsenal. Pretty ridiculous. Yeah.
That's right, that big bender that they show so much that it's almost annoying now. It was an amazing goal because he was 16 and putting it over... was that one during Arsenal's unbeaten streak? Did that end that, like, 45-game unbeaten streak or whatever it was?
I think United ended that.
I can't remember, but it was a big goal. They ended up winning.
It was a big goal. I mean, it was like his first game.
I don't remember if it was his first game, but it was his first goal. 16 years old. You know, everybody's seen the clip. It's remember the name Wayne Rooney. Everybody's going berserk. Wayne's like borderline crying. It's an amazing goal. The one he hit this time, I'm surprised he wasn't crying again because he'd been playing so poorly. Like just a little bit of relief,
and
but
the turn and shoot, the skill is still there. It's just the speed, and that's what I was trying to tell you. He can be a good player for Everton, but he needs to figure out his role, and that's for Koeman to figure out.
Do you think he should be starting?
I don't think so.
Is it for Koeman?
Well, it might not be for Koeman, because Koeman might not have a job pretty soon.
Yeah, this game ends 5-2, and that might be flattering, Ken. 5-2 might be flattering.
That's what I'm talking about. It was 5-2, but we went up a man with 20 minutes left, and the onslaught of pressure, 30 shots, it could have easily been... There were two clear-cut chances that we just flat-out missed by shooting the ball directly at, Pickford. That could have easily been 7 or 8-2. But it doesn't matter. We end with 5-2, and it was Nacho, Ozil, Lacazette, Ramsey. The second goal that Everton scored, I mean, it's still unexcusable for a back pass to be played like that. I don't care if you're winning 10-0. You're going to make a back pass to the keeper. You can't put the keeper in a position like that. You put him in a position almost to where he has to get a red card, create a penalty, or just get beat like he did. It's lose-lose for the keeper, and, you know, the defense is all to blame there. But, you know, whatever. 2 minutes later, Sanchez comes around and evens it out, and what little bit of light Koeman saw at the end of the tunnel was immediately erased with 5-2 loss.
Yeah, absolutely. In the midweek... Did they lose in the midweek or draw? I can't remember.
And there was almost a riot because Ashley Williams can't keep his head on straight.
They're at the bottom of their Europa League group, which is terrible. At the same time, if it were me and you, we'd do the same thing.
But hey.
Not us. But
these guys, they didn't spend $155 million to challenge for a title. They didn't even spend $155 million to challenge for top four. So Cummins doing okay.
Yeah, everything I see is just the Everton fans are furious. Their team looks awful right now, Ken. They're in 18th place, 8 points, negative 11 differential, and maybe most importantly, getting completely embarrassed in games where they used to be that scrappy team to take a 1 point away from a 3-point loss against Manchester United, Arsenal, Chelsea.
Exactly, and I don't think it's time yet, but I do think that we are going to see, I would not be surprised to see that Everton part ways with Koeman. And I think the guys on NBC Sports, they had it right. Because in his post-press conference interview, he said that I trust the players completely. But they brought up a good point that said maybe the players don't trust him. And that's going to be where the issue is. And just like they were saying, I'm sure that the owners and the board are going to be trying to figure out as closely as possible, monitoring the situation, whether or not the players still back Koeman. And if the answer is no, he is out before next game.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me to see such a difference between one season and another, and I'm sure there's multiple reasons why Everton would drop the way they have compared to last year. I mean, Lukaku is a big deal. A lot of people they are talking about it, but not as much as they're talking about Koeman. Koeman's the same guy he was last year. He's the same manager, but they changed their personnel up, so you have to wonder, is he just not able to work with them? I mean, is Wayne Rooney the problem? Is it the Lukaku hole? The bottom line is they have to figure it out.
Wayne Rooney. I mean, I think that maybe people will scapegoat him, but he hasn't really started that many games. He comes on mostly as a substitute.
I don't think so.
He does. He came on like as a substitute for like the last three games. I think this was the first game he started in a couple weeks in the league.
I remember him seeing United a few weeks ago, but that was like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
No, yeah, and the bottom line, he started for sure, but...
But they were expecting him... You and I also, we were talking about 10, 12 goals, somewhere in that range. He is scoring penalty kicks and the occasional banger, but...
I'm pretty sure Cummins said, I brought in Wayne Rooney to win titles. And then when the results don't go his way, he says that we didn't spend all that money to challenge for a title.
Yeah, well, that definitely happened. So anyway, 5-2, Arsenal.
Real quick, before you move on from that, I just want to say, I guess your team's cojones are doing a little better now. Troy Deeney doesn't have to worry about you anymore.
Yeah, Troy Deeney can finally shut his mouth and just play his position.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what everybody wants to hear, is that Troy Deeney is...
I didn't hear too much out of Troy Deeney this week.
Yeah, not too much from Troy Deeney. Troy Deeney got subbed out in like the 60th minute or something like that. So, yeah, I didn't hear much from him either. But nothing against Troy Deeney, unless you're a Arsenal fan, which I understand. But Arsenal gets a nice win here, one of their bounce-back wins against a team that is struggling. And that is the way you attack a team that's struggling. And that's one of the reasons that we'll get into it. But basically, the idea that Manchester United didn't attack Liverpool a few weeks ago now drives me crazy. Like I said, we'll get into it in a little bit. But a team that is attacking all the time, Manchester City 3-0, Aguero plus some other people scored, Ken. 10 shots on goal. Player of the match is De Bruyne. He was unbelievable. Two balls that he put through that are just ridiculous.
The third goal to Sané. No one can put a pass in like De Bruyne does. He's too good. It's like pinpoint accurate. Like he has a computer inside of his foot, and he just programs it, and it goes with pinpoint accuracy to the laces of whatever player he wants it to go. It beat the defender by like an inch. It's so crazy how he does that.
Yeah, that he beat both defenders. Well, he split defenders, and the last defender, he just like almost got it, but that's just the sign of a beautifully weighted ball.
It was like a 20, 30-yard pass on the ground.
Yeah, and City for a while there was only 1-0, and I was crossing my fingers, although I shouldn't have been. I mean, they dominated this game.
It was only
a matter of time.
Yeah.
And no shots on goal from Burnley. Man City continues. They were at home. Aguero gets his goal because that's what he does. And then, I mean, basically De Bruyne just continues. And they're not even just playing football. They are orchestrating.
I didn't look at the stats until right now. Burnley looked a lot better than the stats show, though. If you just watched the game. Like, they were holding their own. They were defending like they should have defended for a good part of the game. Yeah, the one goal got in off of the PK, which is just... Eventually, that's going to happen when you're playing a team that is just completely attacking you at all times. I think at one point I counted like 8 of the City players inside the Burnley box.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty wild.
I mean, I don't know what else you're supposed to do there if you're Burnley. They did as much as they possibly could, but I mean, they got overrun. City's in that kind of form. City won at the midweek also against Napoli, and I think that game was pretty good. You see that one?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that was a pretty good game.
I didn't see it,
tell you. City scored twice early, and then Napoli fought back. Napoli is doing really well in Serie A right now, or they were until they drew. So it was a really good game, but City's just, they're too much for people right now. So they get the 3 points here in the same fashion they have been winning. And yeah, and with Manchester United dropping points hard this week. City now sits 5 points.
That was a beautiful game, wasn't it, Tom?
It was brutal. Brutal. Manchester United playing Huddersfield Town at Huddersfield Town, and you can say whatever you want about whatever injuries you want to say. That's not why they lost. They had more than enough on their roster to beat Huddersfield Town. No disrespect to Huddersfield Town, but Manchester United pays for these guys. Has been in the Premier League forever and should be responsible for having 20 guys on the roster that could overtake a team in the bottom five at any time. They should. I mean, that is your responsibility. And they just did not do it at all. They looked awful, Ken.
I loved watching it. It was great.
I did not love watching it.
Kudos to Rashford, though, for scoring that goal and taking no time to celebrate, just picking that ball up and doing exactly what he's supposed to and bringing that thing back to midfield so we can start up as soon as we can just for Huddersfield to completely stop any of those lackluster ideas that Mao had today.
Yeah, Jones went off with an injury early, and Lindelof came on, and it's very easy to blame Lindelof because he had a lot of single errors in this game, and
he looked bad.
He was bad. He was very, very bad, and those goals were his fault, especially the one goal, but he got turned around on the other goal, and he looked very poor. This is his first Premier League game, and it would be easy for me to be like, well, we lost because of Lindelof. You didn't lose because of Lindelof. You had 80% possession, and unlike City, who's having creative ideas and putting eight guys in the box, Manchester United had no ideas, Ken, in this one. None, except for Lukaku, big cross.
Yeah, exactly. Why is he so much of the time in this game on the right wing? What is he doing? Wow. Like, it was so weird to me. Like, there's no reason for him to be there. You guys didn't bring him in to all of a sudden be this early crosser who's going to now set up headers right. What is going on? It was so weird. Oh, maybe it was just raining a little too hard. Mal couldn't see through the sheets of rain, and he looked like a sad, wet dog on the side in his little raincoat, and just look. He cut a dejected figure today, and I gotta tell you, I'd like to see that every week. I'd love to see it.
I'm sure you would. I do not like the way he shows his emotions, and I don't like the way he calls out players immediately. Like, United has one loss this year. So let's not act like we're playing really poorly. I mean, we're in second place, and we've been playing really well for the most part. I mean, the Benfica game in the midweek was very ugly. Very ugly win. A terrible goal. They didn't look good there. And a lot of people now, after one single loss, granted it was a bad loss, after one single loss, after a nice run, are all of a sudden like, oh yeah, United looks terrible, Mao doesn't know what he's doing, Mao is outclassed, out this, out that. Started with the Liverpool game where he played 10 behind the ball against a team that is ripe for the taking. And I don't buy all that. I think that the team is down a little bit, but we're a quarter of the way through the season, and right now the standings indicate that the team has been playing well. The standings indicate 6 wins, 2 draws, 1 loss, 20 points, trailing a just rampant City. I mean, I don't think I would be upset at all with the first quarter of the season if you had offered it to me before. And 9 points from your Champions League group. I mean, yeah, this is a terrible loss, and it hurts, and it will hurt more at the end of the season, especially the way City's playing, because the way Mao approaches big games, you have to win all these games, Ken. You have to.
Now that you lose to Huddersfield, Mao can't play his, I'm going to go play the City's, the Tottenham's, the Chelsea's, and the Arsenal's to get a point. You have to beat a couple of these teams now, and he just doesn't really do that. So it's going to require him to change his mindset and the tactics that he goes in with these games, and he doesn't really have a history of doing that. He pretty much sticks to his game plan.
Yeah, that's the worrisome part to me. The losses happen, you know, and sometimes you are going to get shock losses like this, and everybody needs to be held accountable for it. But my main problem is actually more so the approach to the Liverpool game. Now that looks really bad, because Liverpool has proven time and time again, especially with their run of form over the last, 9 or 10 games, where they haven't been scoring and they've been allowing bad goals, to go in there and show them respect like they were flying, or like they were in form in any kind of way when you're in form. I think United should have gone with just a little bit more of an offensive attitude into that game, and that's why these points matter so much, because you didn't try for points at Liverpool.
Exactly. Yeah, you might come to rue the day that you set up shop at Liverpool and you lost to Huddersfield.
Yeah, I agree. You good over there, Ken? Moving around?
I'm fine.
All right, I'm checking on you. It's probably Tyler making all that noise. Tyler, knock it off. So, a terrible loss for United. Lindelof does not deserve to be let off the hook for this. Other Manchester United fans, my other brother, not Dr. Pete, Ken, was saying it was all Lindelof's fault, and it was all Lindelof's fault from the defensive side, but it was his first game. I'll just say this, Ken. Nemanja Vidic was very bad for the first half season that he played in. It takes time. So I'm not going to blow the guy out, especially since I can't afford to, as Phil Jones and Bailly are hurt, so I probably need to rely on him for the next four or five games.
Exactly. Yeah, we're going to see him a lot, and hopefully he continues to play the same way that he played today.
Otherwise, it's going to be the old...
Yours truly, a non-Man United fan.
It's going to be the old Daily Blind again, baby. Not that Daily Blind's horrible.
Not but... looking that bad when you're looking at Lindelof coming in.
Man, Daily Blind all over the place, but... Yeah, tough loss. Definitely definitely hit my Saturday hard. Was definitely more agitated. But there was some rebounding to be had.
Tom. I wasn't.
I know, you're the worst.
I was loving
Newcastle,
it.
Newcastle beats Crystal Palace. Roy Hodgson, last week's manager of the universe, cannot beat Newcastle United, but can still beat Chelsea. He doesn't really have to do much else, Ken.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the season's very long, and it's very... This is just true to form of Crystal Palace, and more importantly, true to form to the league. It just... Last week shows that any team can lose on any day of the week. It just depends on what's going on. Crystal Palace beats Chelsea, and then they go and lose to Newcastle. I mean, it's Crystal Palace, so who cares?
I
guess the Crystal Palace fans care, but even they cannot be... They cannot be surprised that they lost to Newcastle today. But you had to assume that last week was a fluke and that they had no time to get back to their old ways, which was losing and looking miserable while losing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's Crystal Palace for you. I'm assuming you didn't watch this game.
No, I just saw the highlights.
Are you still boycotting?
I'm not boycotting. I'm just not going out of my way to watch a Crystal Palace game.
It's a pretty gross game. Late winner from Newcastle.
Well, it's boring on all fronts because Newcastle's boring to watch, and they were playing boring Crystal Palace.
Yeah. Well, mark that one down as one not to watch on the replay. Anyway, Leicester City at Swansea. Leicester City wins this game 2-1 with their interim coach. You know, I didn't realize that Craig Shakespeare had been fired. I had to find out after this game was over. Did you realize
that? I knew that he was fired. I knew that they fired Shakespeare, but it was, like, so under the radar that I guess I felt like nobody cared about it, so why bring it up? It was such, like, a... It was so quick, and then they bring in this interim manager, which is kind of weird to me. I mean, you can't expect someone to give their full go at it when you've given them the title of interim manager. So you might as well make it official until you fire them. So I don't understand the idea of the interim manager. Maybe Leicester will prove us all wrong, and this guy will bring Leicester out of the relegation fight up into a Europa spot.
I don't think so, but Appleton gets the win, his first as a manager, and Leicester City, this is just a back-and-forth game, a little more exciting than you would have expected coming in, but I guess with two teams that could possibly be... fighting relegation, this is an important win for Leicester City to kind of get them clear. And, I mean, at this point, their target, as we said, I think last week, is 12th again.
Yeah, that will be the ceiling for them, I think. Anything above 12 or 11, I'd say that was a pretty successful season, knowing now that they fired their manager and they're working under an interim manager.
Yeah. Speaking of 12 and 11 and the ceilings, Bournemouth beats Stoke City at the Stoke City Trap. I would just like to clarify that the Stoke City Trap is only set for teams in the top six. Against anyone else coming into Stoke City, anything can happen as usual for a team that is sitting where Stoke City is. You know, we talk a lot about how City is the trap, Ken, but they are, after this loss, this 2-1 loss, they are in 17th place with a negative 10 goal differential. And some of the only points they've taken have been off our teams, Manchester United and Arsenal.
Well, Stoke is a team that you can't be surprised to see them even finish in 17th. I mean, I feel like they're going to finish somewhere between 10 and where they are. I think they'll be safe. It would be, I think it would be crazy if they got relegated. There's too many other teams that want to get relegated more, it seems like. But, you know, it's Stoke. They play hard against the big clubs because they can just sit back and catch them on a counter. But against these other clubs that are in their same ballpark, their same avenue, they feel like they can go out and get something, and it leaves themselves really, really exposed, like it did today.
Yeah, and that's an important loss for them. So, We'll see what happens with them going forward. A bad loss at home to Bournemouth. Good for Bournemouth as they have started to pick it up a little bit, that they are deep in the relegation zone. 19th place is not where they were expecting to be, so maybe that'll be a little bounce for them. Southampton beats West Brom 1-0 at home. Another team that desperately needed 3 points, Ken.
Yeah, and what a ridiculous single effort goal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That might go down as a play and goal of the season, and it only had to do with one person.
Yeah,
the goal scorer. That was crazy. Yeah. It was ridiculous the way he just manhandled the entire West Brom midfield and defense.
Yeah, I got a 3 or 4 different text messages like, you got to see Buffal's goal. You have to see Buffal's goal. And I switched over to it as they were doing the replay. Pretty much starts just outside of his 18. Gets a little lucky beating the first guy as the ball was kind of, it was like a 50-50. And then he just skins like 4 or 5 people in a row. It looked like these guys had been shot, man.
Yeah,
he just did a,
we should look back at the rules, too. Do you think that that anywhere in the FA's guidelines, can you get a yellow card for tackling your own player the way that West Brom tackled?
Oh, those two dudes run into each other.
It was completely off the ball. It should, at the very least, a yellow card.
That was fantastic. It was a cartoon goal. Two dudes just bouncing into each other looking like idiots. Absolutely. That was phenomenal. It definitely worth a look. Buffal with the beautiful goal. 85th minute, too. And he came on as a sub. I think he ran over to the bench and told the manager to play him a little more.
Yeah, well, I mean, this was just a game where West Brom was, it looked like they were just trying to play for a 0-0 draw the way that Southampton was attacking. All the chances that they had, I mean, it was just, you had to think watching the game, it was just a matter of time before Southampton broke the draw. But, I mean, to come at it that way, I mean, it was pretty epic style.
Yeah, I would agree. It definitely was. So it's a 1-0 win for Southampton. Deserved 1-0 win, but maybe not how they would have expected to get it with a single effort like that. Definitely worth a look if you get a chance as they take the game 1-0. Now for the game of the week, Ken. Tottenham Hotspur versus Liverpool at Wembley, which makes all the difference, Ken, as they had 80,000 in the stands, a Premier League record. And we were expecting the atmosphere to be really good, and they were aided by an early Harry Kane goal in the 4th minute, which is what Harry Kane does. Nice ball.
You get Harry Kane scoring at Wembley. It's a dangerous Tottenham now. Now you have to rethink the entire rest of the season because, as I was saying, I felt it would be very hard for Tottenham to play at Wembley. And today was not very tough. It was very simple, but nevertheless, you start getting Harry Kane comfortable in his surroundings, and it very well might be a wrap for any team coming into Wembley at this point.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it is only a single week. In the midweek, Tottenham and Real Madrid played at the Bernabeu. Awesome game. Did you see this one? It was.
I did watch it after I read the news about it and how great it sounded. So, yes, I did go back and watch it. And it didn't disappoint.
It was really good. And to have Tottenham, an English team, show up in Spain like that. For some reason, English teams just don't like playing in Spain since, like, 07 or something like that. But Ronaldo gets a penalty. Varane with an own goal. But the game overall, really, Tottenham showing some cojones, Ken, as they go and get the draw. And
I just want to let you know, too, before you go too far deep into the Champions League game, I would be remiss to not tell you it was a home game for Tottenham.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
No.
It was.
No, it was not.
I'm pretty sure it was. No. Oh, no, you're right. It was the away leg. You're right. I'm sorry. You continue on.
Stop it.
You continue.
You stop it, Ken.
I thought I saw Wembley in the background.
No, they had a nice win draw in the midweek and all but guaranteed them getting through to the next stage of the Champions League. And Liverpool also coming off a big win against a poor team, but 7-0 in the midweek in the Champions League, a result they desperately needed. But then to come in and immediately allow a goal to Harry Kane in the 4th minute, especially the way it was scored. I mean, it is Harry Kane, it is Tottenham, they are at home, for whatever that means. And you can't expect Harry Kane to put away his opportunities, but this is the beginning of the end of the, 32 minutes of Lovren.
Yeah, I mean, the unfortunate thing is there's just no other options for Liverpool. And, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't even know how long we can even talk about Liverpool, because at this point, I almost expect this kind of display from that back four. And I'm not even...
emails, Ken. That's what you're doing.
I'm not even sorry to say this, but at this point, Liverpool could score 6 goals, and the fans in that stadium that are for Liverpool, whether it be the home fans or the away fans, they have to assume that that back four is going to let in 7. Because you take out Lovren, you bring on Ox. Fine. But when Lovren disappoints and you get him out, which I thought it was a good move by Klopp, showed a little bit of accountability on the sideline. Like, hey, you are playing terribly. And this has maybe come 9 games too late, because the fact that you're still wearing a Liverpool jersey and you're in the starting 11 is disrespectful to the Liverpool fans, in my opinion. But now you have to rely on Matip. And Matip, only as if to say, don't worry, Lovren, I'm going to take a little light off of you. I'm going to allow maybe even a worse goal by heading a ball off of a cross into the middle of the box, as to say, we're center backs together. If you look like crap, I'm going to look like crap too. They're terrible. So they're miserable. And the way I see it at this point, Liverpool should get rid of their every single defender that they have on that adult team, that starting 11 and the reserve squad. Get rid of all of them. Put them on the U21 team. Say that they're injured so they can play there. And you bring up 5 or 6 16, 17, 18-year-olds, because we're going to need to start developing the youth in Liverpool, because the future is bleak when it comes to defense in Liverpool. And maybe some people will think that that's unfair, but 4-1, the way that those 4 goals were scored, which was completely defensive issues.
And 4-1 was flattering in this case as well, Ken. 4-1
exactly.
Was flattering.
Should have been more, probably.
Yeah, Son hit the crossbar early in the first half also, and there were some other chances.
Exactly, and I'm not a coach or a manager, but maybe what they should do this week, the defense, because it was brought to my attention that no one really knows what they're working on during the week when it comes to defensive drills. Maybe this week, none of them put on a pair of cleats, none of them put on their shin guards, none of them put on their practice jerseys. They go in their street clothes, and they just watch all 19 other Premier League teams play defense for the last 9 games, and let's take notes on what those guys are doing, because nobody is as bad as you are at defense.
I mean, that is a tough stance to take, but I mean, I would have thought that more so if I hadn't watched especially the first 3 goals. The Harry Kane first goal, Lovren got like turned around, I guess, and Harry Kane is free. If there's anybody you're marking in this game, it's Harry Kane. And then in the goal in the 12th minute, that was the ball that was thrown out by Lloris that was a missed header by a center back that allowed the ball to go right over his head. It was a really, really poor play by Lovren. That's what got him subbed off. Salah brings a goal back in the 24th minute. That was,
by the way,
Lloris mistake as well, right?
Exactly. Defensive error. And it, you know, against a team that, you know, was firing all cylinders, you know, that could have been a game-changing goal, but...
Lloris does not come out for the ball that's put through the middle, and it seemed to me that the center backs would have been able to put off Salah enough to keep him from scoring, but Lloris made a mistake, and he knew it.
Exactly. Yep. You never know what's going to happen. You let the ball touch the ground, and defense 101, I mean, he let it go past them, and of course, he got burned by it.
Yeah, but that Matip mistake is really important, because as much as Liverpool set themselves up to blame the whole game on Lovren, Klopp set himself up to do that, which especially former players really smashed. I have seen that done before, never to a defender getting yanked off for tactical reasons in like the 25th or 30th minute, whatever it was. That is brutal. Like, you're saying, I can't even wait to halftime to get you off the field. And I know that there have been reports saying that Lovren can barely walk, like he's getting taking all these painkillers because his back's so bad. Well, if that's the case, then he doesn't play. So that's not an excuse to me. Like, you don't play a guy who's hurt.
Yep, that's the issue, though. They don't have anyone else. Do you think if Klopp and Liverpool had a better option than Lovren, that they would be starting Lovren? I sure hope not. I sure hope they don't have somebody else sitting on that bench that Klopp thinks is better than Lovren, and for whatever reason, Lovren's getting the nod week in, week out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought it was really indicative that Klavan didn't even come on here, Ken. They brought on the Ox, who I just want to say real fast, we've talked about this before, Oxlade-Chamberlain, a few months ago, was sitting on the bench for a fringe top four team, and then he made a big move to sit on the bench for a fringe top four team. I think that move was ridiculous, and I think that he doesn't fit in the top four. So, it's so funny to me.
He has bits of brilliance, just like he did with Arsenal. There have been a couple moments in a Liverpool jersey where he's looked really, really good, but I would argue, is it worth 40 million good? And do you think you really got a deal for him? Like, do you think you really pulled one over on Arsenal by grabbing the Ox away from us?
Absolutely you paid not. Twice
I would
as much
have signed over the paperwork
guy.
As a fan. Take him.
Yeah, I mean, so they sub Lovren off in the...
It was the right move, though, no matter how wrong it
was. He had to come off, but I mean, I just feel like you can't take a guy off until halftime. I just strongly feel it makes such a statement. Somebody told me that after the game, Lovren apparently removed Liverpool FC from his Twitter profile or something like that. I don't know if that's true or not.
Do Liverpool fans a favor and leave.
It is a personal insult, and even after the game, Klopp laid into him again. Specifically into Lovren.
Maybe the tactfulness is not there on Klopp's part, but when you're 9 games in and you have a very, very obvious defensive issue going on, you remove the issue. And Lovren is very much the issue on that back four. Minus the two, I mean, when you're talking about the center of the defense, he's the main issue.
He is, but just like we were talking about weeks ago where we had the quote with Klopp saying, well, name 5 players that are better, and we named like 10, and there were 20 on the list that I was reading from, including one on the Tottenham on the Tottenham back line with Sanchez. I mean, it just goes to show you that they should have, instead of paying 40 for Ox, maybe you should have paid for Van Dijk.
Well, yeah, obviously they should have brought anyone in. Like I said, maybe it's not that bad of an idea. Get rid of Lovren for a little while and bring up one of these guys you have in the youth squad. Just bring them up. It can't get any worse. It can't.
Yeah, that's true, especially in a big match like this. They moved Gomez into... When they brought on Ox, he's obviously not a center back. They move Gomez in and move Emery Chan to right back.
Did you hear the announcers talk about how his Liverpool future is in doubt? I did not know that there was anything of... I knew that there were some offers that came in for him, but I didn't think it was anything serious to take him away from Liverpool.
I think that he might be in his... He might be in a contract year.
The announcers definitely said, like, when he came off, or when he came... Either he came off or he came on, I can't remember, honestly, but they said that Emery Chan's future is in doubt. At least at Liverpool.
I think he's asking for big wages, and he's kind of flirting with other clubs. He's saying it's an honor to be linked with other clubs. So that's one of those things where he might be gone. He's a weird player to me because I'll never forget Brendan Rodgers calling him a Rolls-Royce footballer, where he was like going to be the best player ever, and then you go and you watch closely – and you're like, well, I mean, the guy's got skills, but he's not at the top tier of midfielders or anything like that.
No, but I like Emery Chan at Liverpool. I think he brings something to them. Doesn't mind getting dirty and a tackle every once in a while. And
he has some wonder goals, too.
Yeah, I think he's the right fit for Liverpool, honestly. I think that it would be a loss for them to lose him.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean... It would be easy for us to dress down Liverpool completely after this performance. It is against a top three club. I mean, a team that finishes second and has been challenging for the title the last few years. at their home in front of 80,000 fans. So let's, I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world, but four goals and the way they lost, four goals is inexcusable.
It's just one of those things where any team that's, you know, arguably in the top six is going to get beat by another team in the top six, sometimes really badly. Liverpool's done it to Arsenal. Now Tottenham's done it to Liverpool. It just so happens that Liverpool's gotten a little bit more so far this season.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of it, because goal differential matters, you know, when you're in a title race. Right now, United's at 18, which is really strong, but City's at 28. So how is United going to bring back five goals? They're probably not. I mean, that's one of those things. But in general, when you have title races, they're usually tighter than that. There's usually not that much of an edge. And a loss like this from Liverpool would normally be a big deal. I mean, Ken, right now, Liverpool is in ninth place. They have 13 points a quarter of the way through the season, and their goal differential is -2 with that offense.
I think that it's painfully obvious that there's a, dare I say it, a defensive issue at Liverpool.
I mean, we could beat that into the ground, but I mean, we've talked
about it until they bring in someone else. I'm honestly almost even done talking about it.
I was just thinking that. I mean,
Klopp is obviously now maybe going to do something different, and the fans that I know of are going to continue to be upset that people keep bringing up the fact that there's a defensive issue. But they have the offensive firepower to score goals. They just have to be able to be in a position to be on top of a game and not always be on the back foot. And that's going to start at, you know, midfield and defense.
All right. Yeah, I mean, we can talk about it forever, much to the chagrin of Liverpool fans. But the on the flip side of this, it was good for Tottenham fans to see Dele Alli with a great finish here, albeit off of an error and a couple. I think the ball bounced around a little bit, but he gets his finish. I was just going to text Dr. Pete and say, you know, Dele Alli hasn't done anything in the season so far. He actually really had a nice game after that. And he showed up, and to have their secondary scorer show up will be very important for Tottenham if they want to challenge for the title. And they're well on the rights to do that, as they are now at 20 points, tied with Manchester United and sitting in third place.
Exactly.
So that brings us to next weekend's games, Ken. Anything you're looking forward to?
Well, you got United Tottenham.
Mm-hmm.
All the Liverpool games can be, you know, touted around as being exciting from a neutral perspective going forward.
How about that sneaky Bournemouth versus Chelsea at Bournemouth game?
I would love to see Bournemouth beat Chelsea at Bournemouth.
Really awesome.
Just call it now. Call it now. 2-1 Bournemouth. Old Eddie Howe is going to get those boys right for Chelsea.
93rd minute, Louise Ogg.
Well, let's not discount the very real possibility of Arsenal coming off of a 5-2 thrashing of Everton and going in and losing 2-0 to Swansea at home.
Absolutely, that could happen. Game of the week, I should think, will be Manchester United at Tottenham. Or excuse me, they're actually at home there at Old Trafford. Tottenham versus Manchester United. I'm a little worried about Harry Kane versus Lindelof. We've shut Harry Kane down the last few games, regardless of what form he's in. Speaking of form, just a quick side note, Harry Kane has 38 goals in 2017 in the calendar year.
Look, you can be worried about Tottenham all you want and Harry Kane, but I think the team that's going to be worried the most is Manchester City. They're going away to West Brom. Hold your socks, boys.
Loss, draw, loss in their column. Manchester
City.
This is the game.
They're gonna beat City.
This is the team that's gonna give City the sucker punch, huh?
They're gonna sleep on them.
I don't think so. But the United Tottenham game. Unfortunately, it sucks, man, because this is a huge game. And I hate to always go back to the Fergie era, but it's hard not to because he was so successful. I mean, Fergie would go into these games against Liverpool was like what Tottenham is now. Liverpool is a team that was always challenging with United and maybe Chelsea or whoever else it was. And to go into the games, you would expect like 1-1 or like 2-1. There'd be incidents. It would be, you know, defensively sound, but there would be some intent to attack. And it's Mourinho, man. He's not going to try to attack. He's just going to double mark Harry Kane and Eriksen and put 10 behind the ball and try to score in a corner.
I think you
hate
and
that.
The rest of the United fans need to remove Fergie, Alex Ferguson, Sir Alex Ferguson out of your vocabulary, because I think that that is the one biggest reason that United may never reach the level of success that they had with him, because you guys cannot forget about it. Let this guy Mal do his job. He's proved to be a pretty successful manager everywhere he's been. Let this guy do his job. He thinks that he's going to do it this way. See what happens. I mean, I think this is like the first real season at United you can hold any type of evaluation to his credibility as a United manager. But if you guys are going to continue living in the era of Fergie, like, you're never going to be removed from it, and he's still going to be sitting right behind the bench telling the players what to do after Mourinho tells them what to do.
He's not doing that. He sits up there. Everybody else sits with their wives.
He sits up there and chops his gum. Like the gum is alive and attacking him, and he needs to kill it.
His wife gave up on him a long time ago. She does not go to the games with him. I'm not going back to the Fergie era in any way, except to say that, like any other team, Arsenal, Chelsea, when they go up against other teams at home, they play their style and they try to win. Sometimes they lose, but they try to win. And I don't like not trying to win against a team that is, you know, on the same level as you. It makes for bad watching.
If United were to win the title this season playing exactly the way that you just said you don't like, would you be mad about it?
It would always be the bee in my bonnet, Ken, but I would, of course, I'd be excited. But it's hard. You have to remember, we just lost to Huddersfield, so now we have to find points somewhere else.
Yeah, and you're home to Tottenham. I can't think of a better game. Should be simple for you guys.
I hate you, Ken. Liverpool plays at home to Huddersfield Town, looking to rebound. It'd be very interesting to me to see the lineups and to see what happens with Liverpool.
I would like to see Lovren not in the starting lineup. And if I'm a Liverpool fan, I can't imagine that they would not be thinking the same. Like, you almost can't start him now.
I think you can't if you're going to sub him in the 30th. He has to recover from the basically the bitch slap that he just received. Seriously, he does. Like, I mean, the guy is going to be butthurt for a while, and that's the problem. You weren't even confident enough to bring Klavan off the bench, so, I mean, could you really afford to take him off in the first place?
I'd like to see a nice, fresh-faced 17-year-old who we've never heard of ever playing center back.
And I'd like to see Lovren again and then have Huddersfield Town win, personally, as a Manchester United fan. But Liverpool, I expect them to get the points here, bounce back with an offensive showing, as their offense really hasn't been doing what it usually does. City plays at West Brom. I would expect City there. Watford at home to Stoke. Arsenal versus Swansea. You already alluded to the fact that this will be a 2-0 Swansea win.
I said it could be. It could be. Of course, I think that Arsenal's going to win handedly. I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised. It's Arsenal. I'm very, very logical thinking Arsenal fan here.
Well, set your DVRs for Crystal Palace versus West Ham. That's at Crystal Palace. And then you have Sunday, Brighton versus Southampton, and Leicester City versus Komen-less Everton, question mark? Or do you think he'll get the weekend to figure it out?
I don't know, man. I don't know, because they're going to go into next weekend in the relegation zone. It's going to depend on how long the owners are willing, how many days they're willing to sit in the relegation zone with the manager that put them there, single-handedly put them there.
I agree. Burnley at home against Newcastle on Monday sorts out the weekend. Real quick, the EFL Cup round of 16 that goes on in the midweek. That'll be Swansea City at home against Manchester United. Other matches of note, Arsenal at home against Norwich City, Manchester City against Wolves, and Chelsea against Everton, and Tottenham against West Ham. So those are midweek games. I would expect most of those games from the top six clubs that are still left to play their backup team. So maybe you'll see Ox Chamberlain.
Yeah, you might.
And we'll see some Theo.
Theo Walcott.
Theo Walcott is going for the hat trick against Norwich City. And you can expect we're going to see some Batshuayi, and God, I don't even know who you see from United. We don't have a backup forward, so I guess you're going to see Lukaku and the gang. Oh, since our midfield's hurt, probably the same exact team.
Ibra, the surprise, surprise entrance.
I still don't know what they're going to do with him because, like, all your games are played, like, 3/4 of your games are played from August until, like, January, where the Champions League and the EFL Cup are. So I don't know what you're going to do with Ibra. I guess he's your, like, FA Cup superstar? I don't know. Yeah, that'd be nice if we could see him. You'll probably see McTominay. But besides that, the United's depth right now is shredded, so they might have to have some of their first teamers on there, like their center backs.
Love it.
Yeah, but EFL Cup matches in the midweek, and a pretty nice weekend shaping up for next weekend, I think. What do you think?
Yeah. Should be interesting. Should be good stuff.
All right. Well, the table sits as this. Manchester City in first with 25 points. United in second with 20. Tottenham in third with 20. Chelsea in fourth with 16. Arsenal tied for fourth with 16. Way to go, Ken. And skipping down a bit, Liverpool in 9th with 13 points, Everton in 18th with 8 points, Crystal Palace in 20th with 3 points. For Ken Lee and Tyler Offeld, I am Tom Miller saying goodbye, Ken Lee.
See you.